I'll talk about solar, which is my favorite thing to talk about. And you know, I feel a bit awkward coming here to the ACT and showing a picture of a beautiful solar rig in Sydney, because the ACT, of course, is leading the charge in Australia. And want to really recognize that much of what I had to say in Brisbane and Sydney last night, probably don't need to say to you folk, because you know it and you're doing it by 2020. Well done, 100%. Go ACT. But this is just a reminder of my story, which is that about 2006, I had a chat with the friends down at the Sydney Theatre Company, which is this roof, and wanted to help them take it green, and ended up doing a design, which I didn't get to build because them's the breaks in business sometimes, but someone else did, and it became the largest solar roof in Australia at the time. And since then, in the last decade only, it's gone to over 1.5 million roofs like this with solar in Australia. So we have gone through in our lives this rooftop revolution where we've actually seen solar become mainstream. It's no longer alternative energy. In fact, by number of new additions to the electricity grid in the United States and in China and in big economies around the world, alternative energy is coal. We're not adding it to the grids of the world anymore in substantial numbers. To just give you some facts, the United Kingdom, the place where coal was kind of generalized for use to boil water to drive steam turbines, they're now using less per annum than they did in the 1800s. It's at the lowest point in over a century. In the United States, we've shut down 250 large coal power plants in the last 5 years. In the whole world last year, new planned coal plants dropped off two-thirds, 66% were basically put on ice. Most substantially in India, and we'll come back to why that's salient on the Adani case, and in China. China actually just this year has already mothballed more coal plants than Australia's electricity grid capacity. So coal is crashing precipitously around the world. It's actually one of the most dynamic and devastating shifts in technology vested interest ever in any market that you can think of. Faster than landline telephony being displaced by cell phones. Faster than cocaine being superseded by methamphetamines. It's been a really dramatic change in a decade, because solar's gone to scale. And wind has too, just to give wind its props, and it's solar too, I think. Wind is just transferring heat around the planet, so I call it solar power. But, wind is now two-thirds the price pretty much anywhere you look of what you can get coal for. So in the Midwest of the United States right now, we're seeing existing coal plants, running ones, not new build, getting turned off for new build wind power plants, because it's cheaper to do that, build something from scratch and run a wind power plant, than to take a sunk cost like a coal power plant and continue to fuel it and do the O&M on it. That's the facts that we're starting to see in the energy markets around the world. All of which is incredibly important when considering these people that want to build this goddamn mine in Queensland, because they're going to take $1 billion of your dollars as taxpayers to build something which is going to become a stranded asset. But the other thing I want to tell you is it doesn't have to be this way, because there are lots of models where we can get off fossil fuels and do it without them and still grow our economies and create great value and lots of jobs, 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 and we'll come back to that too. But the case I use is California. And again, apologies being in the ACT, where you're doing this yourselves faster than California in some ways. Smaller, I'll give you that. You're only 300,000 people. They're about 40 million. But the story I try to just speak to in the Californian experience, which is where I've lived for the last 10 years, having built some companies and now having the privilege of running this California Clean Energy Fund, which invests in very early stage startups for the state government and runs a network of incubators and accelerators and such. We basically took a decision 30 years ago, you could say, very clearly 20 years ago, to get off fossil fuels in California. And a lot of that was about energy efficiency and demand response. And then there was a commitment to renewables around the turn of the century. They stopped burning and digging up coal in California, and they've turned off contracts with coal electricity imported from outside the state. The last of those will go down in 2 years in Los Angeles. Got some trickles of coal power come over the border from Nevada. And they've just built more and more renewables. They've got the biggest wind farm in the world, the biggest geothermal farm in the plant in the world, the biggest solar farms in the world, and lots of solar roofs like Australia has built in the last decade. And we've employed 500,000 Californians. And we haven't lost our shirts, right? California is a pretty vibrant economy, you could say. In fact, it's the vibrant economy in the United States. It's really the one that's carrying the can for the whole country coming out of the Great Recession. And it's created all these incredibly valuable companies while also shifting its electricity entirely, just transitioning its technology set from dirty to clean. So we've done Apple, you know, and Google, companies that you probably use the products and services of today or even right now because you're bored of listening to me spout facts. The reality that we can do this, and by the way, Google, Apple, Facebook, they're all going 100% renewable of their own accord with direct access contracts for their own data centers, for their own offices. We help finance one of the Apple contracts as well. So we're able to do this while innovating, while creating jobs, and decoupling economic activity from fossil fuel use. It can be done. You're doing it. Amen. Alleluia. Which brings me back to why this is going to be a stranded asset up in the Galilee. We're talking about a big boondoggle that's going to cost $20 billion. They need at least $1 billion of free money from the state. I mean, it's a concessional loan, allegedly. But, you know, we all know it's going to be sunk down the bottom of the capital stack. And they'll build their rail line to try to get it out to export markets, namely India. But look at what's happening in India. As an investor, I look in due diligence at the market that the project is proposing to sell to. And the project in this case, Adani's coal mine, the Carmichael, is meant to go to India largely and some other Asian markets. But guess what? Piyush Goyal, the Minister of Power in India, has said very clearly he wants to get off imported coal altogether within 3 years. He wants to use domestic supplies for their thermal generating capacity. And they're shifting off thermal generating capacity and building gigawatts of solar. They've built 10 gigawatts in 3 years. They have a national mission to do 100 gigawatts by 2022. And that's not to mention the wind and the other renewables that they're also building out. Because the price drives the market. And this is numbers from the last quarter where we're seeing cost of electricity coming out of the back of solar farms in India lower than what thermal generation can sell coal power for in India. So the likelihood that Adani actually has a market to sell to is very slim in 5 years. The thing will probably go bust as these fossil fuel plants do through their boom bust cycle and will be left to you. The losses will be socialized as they are, not just in terms of the externalized costs of climate change and the death of the barrier reef and the agricultural jobs around the region and the tourism jobs and all that, but that $1 billion won't get repaid either, I bet. So that's the story that I think is going to come out of this hole in the ground if it's allowed to proceed, which is why we have to stop Adani. And the reason we should be able to show a lie to this whole thing and why the politicians should not be allowed to get away with this is because, as you know, they're using the rhetoric of jobs, jobs, jobs to justify all this. But the trick here is they're caught out on that. The fact is we create more jobs per unit of energy, per dollar invested, however you want to measure it, in clean energy technology sets than dirty energy technology sets. It's between 3 and 7 times more per kilowatt hour generated, depending on which technology you're displacing, coal, gas, diesel, or whether you're using wind, solar, distributed solar, etc. But point being, we create lots more jobs. In fact, in the United States, our experience has been that we employ 2.5 times as many people in the clean energy economy in more than 30 states than oil, gas, and coal production. There's only about 70,000 coal miners left in the United States. There's 260,000 solar installers and workers in different factors and parts of the value chain in the United States. And we're at like 5% of electricity supplied across the country. They're at like 33% of electricity supplied. Around the world, the story is the same. In China, under the 13th five-year plan, which intends to spend $160 billion on clean energy, one of the reasons they're doing that is that they're going to get 13 million jobs in clean energy in China in the next 5 years. In Australia, we've already seen this. We've already done investments through the CEFC and ARENA in regional Queensland with a half dozen solar farms and a wind farm. They put about $70 million of concessional money into those projects in different ways, and those projects employed 2,218 people. So Adani, with its billion-dollar subsidy, is purporting to employ 1,480 people. Each of those jobs is probably a fly-in, fly-out job, or one for someone driving a robotic Tonka truck in a mine pit 1,000 miles away from Brisbane or something. It's just a joke to use $1 billion to subsidise Adani when you could buy literally tens of thousands of jobs for everyone in regional Queensland to come here to the ACT to build out your 100% renewable plans. So that's all good facts. I'm happy to provide you with more if you want. But truthfully, having been in Australia on and off over the last 46 years and been involved in the Franklin, I know that this is going to take an army, not an argument. It's not about the facts. These people aren't rational. They're not looking at this like an investor. They need to be made to stop this, and they will stop this because you turn out in the streets, you boycott the banks that are financing it, and if you have to, you go to the ballot box and you displace the politicians that stand up and lie and say this thing will deliver jobs and value. This thing will destroy values across the ecosystem and our country and our culture, and this thing will destroy jobs.